Hello there, child of God. You're welcome once again to yet another life-changing sermon from Reverend Sydney Alumensah. Reverend Sydney is the head pastor of God's Ally Church, City of His Presence. He is a seasoned man of God who operates in the healing, prophetic, and teaching ministries. Today, the man of God takes us through a sermon titled, Being Thankful Even in Bad Times. And this is part two. Stay tuned and be blessed.
Father, we want to thank you today.
Yes.
We give you praise and glory.
Praise, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Please clap your hands and have your seat. Hallelujah. I want you to say that I will thank God even in bad times. Say, I will thank God even in bad times. Hallelujah. We want to continue what about last week. Amen. I want you to hold somebody's hand gently and tell the person, you are looking awesome. Say, as always expected, you are very beautiful. He's a guy, say, you are very handsome. Hallelujah. Amen. So, we spoke about being thankful in bad times. And then we gave our anchor scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, which says that give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And then we said that what are the things that I can always thank God for? And I gave you number one. I said, somebody say grace. Say grace. And then we read from Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. We said, you have been saved by grace through believing. Believing. You did not save yourself. It was the gift of God. So we understood that grace has made us who we are. Hallelujah. If it was just by our works, we would not be here. But grace has made us who we are. Hallelujah. Somebody say, grace has made me. Grace has made me. And we understood from Psalm 103 that David gives us a list of the gift of God's grace. We said that some of the things that David said. David said that I will not forget all the glorious things God has done for me. In other words, the grace that God has given to me. The gracious gift that God has given to me. He says that he forgives all my sins. And that is grace. It is only grace that can forgive you all your sins. It is only grace that when you have been at the backside of life, he will call you as the prodigal son and say, come home, for I will throw you a party. It's just about the grace of God. So David said that he heals me. If God can heal me, it is about grace. Somebody say grace. If God can heal me, it is about grace. And David says that he ransoms me from hell. It is all about grace. It would take grace for grace to ransom you from the pit of hell. When you are heading toward hell, it is only grace that can pick you up and put you on a place where you can say that all thanks be to God. Somebody say it is about grace. And David does not end there. David says that he surrounds me with love. He is the only God that can leave the 99 and go just for one. It is only this beautiful and this glorious God, this gracious God that can leave everybody and locate you. It is all about grace. If I have been here from January till now, it is all about grace. Some people took a car just from Medina to East Lagos, but they never made it. It is all about grace. Tap somebody, high five. Say grace. Say grace. And David does not end there. He says, he fills my life with good things. What kind of God can do this? I am talking about the Elohim. He is the one that filled your life with good things. You cannot tell me today that he has not been good to you. He has been good to me. It is just about grace. Somebody say grace. And David does not enter. He says that he is merciful and tender towards those who don't deserve it. I didn't deserve it, but grace located me. Men pointed finger at me, but grace located me. I didn't know where I was going. I thought I would not be in the university. I am testifying, but grace located me. I feel like preaching today. It didn't feel that I would be in level 300, but grace located me. It didn't feel that I will pass my exams, but I came out with a second class upper. Grace located me. When I finished school, looking for a job was tough, but grace located me. It looked like the ministry was tired, but they plotted in darkness. They sat down and conspired upon your life. But as them, as more as they conspired, the more grace came for you. As more as they conspired, the more grace came for you. Somebody say, grace. David doesn't enter. He says, slow it down, slow it down. He said, this is the kind of God. He never bears a grudge. I like that one. He never bears a grudge. It is by grace. Are you understanding me? God will not bear a grudge with you because of your sin. You might be a dirty sinner, but he will not bear a grudge with you. When you come to him with open arms, he will save you. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but I came to tell you that his grace is sufficient for you in your weakness. His grace is sufficient for you. So because of his grace, I have a reason to thank God. Because of his grace, you and I, not me alone, tap somebody, say, you have a reason to thank God because of his grace. Number two, I can always be thankful for the plans God has for me. I can always write it down. I can always be thankful for the plans God has for me. I love this. For the plans God has for me. You see, the grace he shows to me, the plans he has for me, it's because God has been good in my life. Am I communicating? It is very obvious that life is not always good. Can I have a witness here? Can I have a witness here? It is very obvious that life is not always good. A lot of things happen in our life, they are bad. Oh yes. Oh yes. In fact, some of them, they are really bad. And I can testify that it is very painful. Sometimes life can hit you in a way where you question the ability and the hand of God in your life. Am I speaking to somebody? They are very, very difficult. Life is tough. Look at somebody, say, life is tough. In fact, life is not all about sunshine. Life is not about the clouds you see. Life is not about the rainbows and the rose flowers that you receive. There are times where indeed life is tough. Some of us, we say that life sucks. It indeed sucks. Because when I look at myself now, I don't know why things are not happening for me. Life actually sucks. Can I have a witness here? Life actually sucks. But you know one thing that we need to understand, that yet although life is not always as good as we look at it or as good as we perceive it, God is always good. Am I communicating here? God is what? He's always good. And God's plan for your life is always good. I want to repeat it again. God's plan for your life is always what? Always good. Now you can say that not everything that happens in life feels good. Oh yes, I agree with you. No, 100% I agree with you. Not everything that happens in your life is God's plan. Listen carefully. Not everything that happens in your life is God's what? Plan. I know some people that will want to blame God on even their mistakes. Some will say, Lord, the mistake I did, I blame you. Some will say that, Lord, this thing that happened to me, I blame you. Don't blame God for your choices. Am I communicating? And that is why he put the tree of good and what? And evil, what? In the Garden of Eden. God did not want to make man as robot. God did not want to tune man as robot. God gave man choices. Are you understanding me? So the choices you made that put you in a place, don't blame it on God. I'll look at somebody and say, don't blame it on God. Say, don't blame it on God. We say everything that happens in life and every mistake that I make, I blame it on God. You see, when we say that God has a plan for your life, that does not mean that you are in it. Can I repeat that again? Oh, I feel like preaching this morning. When God has a plan for your life, that does not mean that you are in it. You need to totally surrender your plan to God. Am I communicating? Am I communicating? So there are times where people say that, God, Jesus, why is it that this plan did not work for me? Why is it that this is not work for me? There are times where you have to totally surrender your plans to God. Are you understanding me? So if I call you and I say God has a plan for you, it does not guarantee that God is in that plan, because it is your choice to invite God and give God what? That plan. Are you getting me? So don't blame God for some choices that you make. The Bible says that God says that there are many ways that seem right unto man, but the end is what? Is death. And that is one road. You've got to choose God's plan. Don't choose the plan of man. Choose the plan of God. Let me repeat that again. Don't choose the plan of man. Choose what? The plan what? Of God. And that is why the Bible says, it says that I have good plans for you, says the Lord. In Jeremiah 29 verse 11, you have to circle the word good. It says, I have good plans for you. Somebody say, Lord, I thank you, you have good plans for me. Say, Lord, I thank you, you have good plans for me. Let's read together. It says what? For I know, says the Lord, they are plans for good. Way down. Underline the word good. They are plans for what? They are plans for good, not of evil. Understand it. They are plans for good, not for evil. Let's read again. To what? To give you a future and what? And hope. Some versions say, to give you hope. To give you that hope you are expecting for. Am I communicating? Some people don't believe that they worship God who causes all. Some people believe actually that they worship God who causes all their suffering. So when I go through suffering, I question God. I say, God, you are the one who is going through all the suffering. But you need to understand that Christ came to bear that suffering. Am I communicating? The Bible says that in Isaiah 53 and 56, it says that he was bruised for our transgression. He was wounded for our what? Iniquity. Are you understanding me? The chastisement of our sins was laid upon him. And that tells us that the man came to suffer for you and I. Am I communicating? He came to what? So it is not like, God, you just put me in this. No. The man came to suffer for you and I. Are you understanding me? So we have a God who doesn't just watch, you know, suffering callously. No, he doesn't do that. We have a God who really suffers with us. We have a God who goes through pain with us. Am I communicating? We have a God who doesn't just leave you alone and say that I don't care. No, God has a plan for you, and the plan he has for you is a good plan. Somebody shout prophetically, it's a good plan. Say, it's a good plan. Can I prophesy on this word? I prophesy the good plan of God in your life is coming to pass. It's coming to pass. It's coming to pass. The Bible says, I have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man. I came to tell you, God has a good plan for you. I have seen his true works in my life. I have seen what he can do. There are times where how we want it, he does not do it. It doesn't mean he's not there. He has a good plan
for you. Somebody say, I have it. I have it. I have it. In the name of Jesus Christ. As I said, God doesn't plan the sins. God doesn't plan the sins. The one that you and I would do, God doesn't plan for that. Sometimes you get hurt innocently because other people sin against you. But God doesn't plan those things. Those sins, God doesn't plan it. But God's plan says that, he says that my plan is bigger. Somebody say bigger. He say God says that we have me plan some me one mouth as soon. As soon. Hallelujah. As super. My plans I have for you is one is bigger. And you see, since God already knows every stupid mistake that you and I will make, and because he knows that stupid mistake that you and I will make, God says that I am going to make, and you are going, I'm going to make your life, and whatever mistake that you do, I'm going to fit it in the plan I have for you. I'm going to fit what that mistake in the plan what I have for you. Are you understanding me? So God says that yes, it's not good, it's not nice, it's not working, but he says that I can fit it. Somebody say he can fit. He can fit. So there are times where I might be stupid, I might make certain mistakes, but as I have a relationship with God and I get closer to him, God says, no matter the mistake you make, I am the chief carpenter. I can carve you, I can mold you, I can make you well. So I might be making mistakes, but God says, I will pick the mistakes and I'll put it in my plan. Am I communicating? So that is why some of you have been through a lot in life, but God says, that stupid mistake you do, I will put it in my plan. But when I put it in my plan, I will mold you, I will shape you, I will construct you, I will make you better, because I am God. Somebody said, because he is God. Because he is God. And that is why I love him. Because he doesn't have any plan B for you. It's always been a plan A. I might go through rough road, but that is not plan B. It's always been plan A. I might have made mistakes by my own choice, but God says, I still have the plan A for you. I will pick your choices, your mistakes, and I will put it in my plan A, and I will make you. I will make you better. Somebody say, you make me better. Say, you make me better. The Lord says, it's not plan D, neither plan E or F. It's always be plan. I see that the plan A that God has for you is coming to pass. It's coming to pass. I'm speaking to somebody. You might have made bad choices, but God said, I will fit it. I will fit it into my plan. Hallelujah. But you know what? God says, I can fit it into the plan for your life. And that is something that I have to be grateful for. That is something I have to be thankful for. Are you understanding me? That is something that I should be thankful for. That when I made that mistake, God was lifting me and putting me back in his plan. I should be grateful. Am I communicating? Look at somebody, say, I have to be grateful. Say, I have to be grateful. I have to be grateful because God showed me mercy. God put me still in that plan. Human beings will tell you, you are a bad girl or a bad boy. You don't deserve it. I have warned you countless number of times, but you still don't want to change. God says, I am merciful. He says, my mercy will locate you. And because my mercy will locate you, it is good enough for you to be grateful to me as God. Am I communicating? Some of us, when you look at our road to now, it was nasty, and we need to be grateful that God has put us in a better place. Am I communicating? God says that I'm going to use it all. and I can use the plans that I have for you
to make you better.
There was a tough question that was put to a man of God when he lost his son. And this was a TV conversation or you know, an interview sort of like that. And this was on CNN. And they asked the man of God that, you know, when you lost your son, did you ever question your faith in God? When you lost your son, did you ever question your faith in? And I want to speak to someone. When you lost your sister, your brother, your uncle, who was the breadwinner for you, did you ever question your faith in God? And then he said this thing, and I quote him. Thing can shake my life, not even the death of my son, because I know God is a loving God. He said, the question is like my children. My children has never doubted that I love them, because they sometimes doubt my wisdom and they don't think I have made the right decision. Not everything that happens in this world is God's will. And that's what he said. Are you understanding me? And he said, everything that happens in the world, God allows. He permitted, because it couldn't happen without his word, his permission. Am I communicating? But we live in a world where there are free choices. Hallelujah. There are free what? Don't blame it on God. Don't blame it on God. There are free choices. Hallelujah. Don't blame it. Look at somebody say, don't blame it on God. Don't ever blame it on God. And he says something. If I choose to do wrong, I can't blame God for that. So God isn't to be blamed for my son's death. My son took his life. It was his choice. And if I choose to go out and get drunk and get in a car and have an accident and I die, I cannot blame it on God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can't blame it on God. You see, when tragedy strikes, when it hits us so hard, and sometimes we fall, we question the integrity of God. We question our very existence of God. The very existence of God. And we begin to now want explanation of what happened. Listen, some of you will never get the explanation until you get to heaven. But I know some of you are here that are saying that when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God a lot of questions. Hallelujah. Can I have a witness here? Someone said, fire. Some of you have said, me and God one on one. You lie. You have no way. I will question you everything that happened to me. Hallelujah. I will question you everything that happened to me. That car that nearly hit me, I will ask, why did it happen? Hallelujah. That money that I lost, I will ask. That lady I love so much that left me, I will ask, why that happened? Hallelujah. But the truth of the matter is that when you get to heaven, you will be in the glory of God. You will be in the glory of Jesus. Are you understanding me? You will not ask God or question him. You will get to know everything. You will get to know everything. Are you understanding me? Because God knows everything. And he says we will be like him. Are you understanding me? So you won't have the time to go and ask God that why this happened. Immediately I enter into heaven, my mind is illuminated. I get to know everything. So I know what happens to me. Are you understanding me? God doesn't have time for that, your bullshit questions. But one of the reasons I can always be thankful in my darkest days is the promise of Romans chapter 8 verse 28. It says that we know that in all, let's read together. Come on. Quickly, please. Lema shanda barada skobrende. Let's read together. It says that we know. He said, we know that all things what work, not some things, all what? All things. God works for what? My good. And he says that what? To them that what? That love God. You see, things will work together for your good if you love God. You see, that is the interpretation. It goes with it. He said to them that what love God. How can you work it for your good? You will sit in that pain forever. Are you understanding me? But if I love God, He will work it. He will work it and continue to work it for my what? For my good. And there is a lot of bad things in the world. And we know that even in the bad, God still works it. Even in the bad, God still what? He works it. He says, for the good of those who love Him. And that means for the good of those who give the pieces of their life to Him. For the good of those who give their brokenness to Him. For the good of those that will say, Lord, I can't do it alone, so I surrender. Oh my God. For the good of those who are so much depressed. And they say, Lord, take my depression, for I know you will work it for my good. He's talking about the pieces in your life, the puzzles you can't solve. He says, I will work it for your good. The broken heart you got, He says, I will work it for your good. The things that happen to you, you're never light. He says, I will work. Somebody say fire. He says, and are called according to His purpose. You see, God has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for you. It might delay, but He still has a purpose. He says that He has what? A purpose for you. So because of this, I, Sydney Alamensa, I know that no matter what I go through, and if I am able to give God all the pieces to Him, He's going to bring good out of it. Say, a bone saying cry. Prophetess, say, a bone saying cry. Now, me bit me eye, then I done, you know. Are you understanding me? He met the woman at the well. He said, though you have five husbands, He started prophesying. He said, but I can give you the water. You can drink from this river that will never run dry. Hallelujah. Somebody say, give Him your life. Give Him. Give Him everything. Listen, God will want to love somebody, wake up in the morning and say, God, hey God, this my weakness is worrying me, oh God. I need help. Oh, today too again, I need help. Hallelujah. This my job thing I always go through. People are always talking about me. I don't know what it is. I don't know. I feel like I'm going to be sacked for my... He says, give it to me. Give it to me. Some of you, your head has turned upside down. He said, give it to me. Hallelujah. Would you sit down? He says, give it to me. Somebody say, give it to Him. Give it to Him. Because if He can turn crucifixions to resurrection, then there is nothing He cannot do. There is absolutely nothing that my God, the Elohim, cannot do. And that is the reason why I have to be what? Be thankful to Him. I have to be grateful to Him because He has better plans for me. Am I communicating? Number three, I'm always going to be thankful no matter what happens in my life. For God's promise is to never leave me. I am always thankful no matter what happens in my life. For God's promise. For God's promise to never leave me. You see, God has a promise to never leave you. Hallelujah. And I want you to think about this for just a second. That there is not a moment in your life that God isn't with you. Can I have a witness here? If you are somebody like that, wave your hand, let me see. Not a single moment that God isn't with you. There is not a moment in your life that God is not there. And some of us, you know, sometimes we think about these things and we are like, Lord, you know what? I'm sure there are times you were not with me. No, every time He's with you. Even in the worst moment, God is still with you. Hallelujah. This This sounds a bit crazy for some people, I understand. And it sounds a bit scary as well, hallelujah. But I want you to come to the realization that everything you do, God is watching you, hallelujah. And that is why the Bible says in Hebrews 13 verse 5, God says this, watch this. He says, I will never leave you and I will never abandon you. Put it there for me. Hebrews 13 verse 5. God says, I will never leave you, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's read it. It says, let your conversation be what? And be content with such things as ye have. For he had said, I will never leave thee, nor what? Nor forsake you. Tap somebody high five. Say, Papa God, no go leave me. Oh, come on. Say, Papa God, no go leave me. He will never leave you, nor what? Nor forsake you. Hallelujah. Because here is the wonderful part of that promise. And scripture says it emphatically. And this is the difference. The difference is that even in the depth of my trials, he is still there. Am I communicating? Even in my worst moment, he's still there. And that is why I love that shepherd boy. He said, yet though I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil. How is he bold enough to say, I will fear no evil? Because he is on my side. Somebody, he's on my side. He's on my side. And look at this verse in Isaiah chapter 43 verse 2. It says that when you go through the deep waters, put it there for me. Let's read it together. Oh my God, I feel his power already. Isaiah 43 verse 5. Let's read it together. It says that when you give me the verse that say when you go through, but let's read it. It says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow. Did you hear the word overflow? It says, I will go through, but it will not overflow. Are you coming? Am I communicating? I will go to the dry, but it will not kill me. Am I communicating? Because there is a God that is on my side. Am I communicating? I will go through trial. There are times I will wake up and look at my life as non-existent, but God says, you will go through the fire, but it will not overflow you. Am I communicating? I don't know who I'm speaking to, but I believe I'm speaking to somebody. Life might look like it is turning around. Sometimes you knock at the door of God, it doesn't open, but his silence can be an answer to you. Am I preaching? I came to tell you that you will go through, but it will not what? Let's read again. It says that they will what? They will not sweep. They will not sweep what? You know when something is dirty and you want to sweep it? Sweep it. And when we sweep it, where do we put it? When we sweep things, we put it in the dustbin, and from the dustbin, your baller people will come and carry it away. God says, no matter what you go through, it will not sweep you. You know why? Because as dirty as it is, he will pick it, begin to fine tune it. Are you understanding me? You begin to fine tune it like the potter making the clay. You look at it and say, it doesn't fit you. You begin to take you through and pluck you out. Sometimes he will not understand, but he knows what he is doing. He knows what he is doing, because one day he wants to put you there where you can say that this is not the doing of man, but the doing of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There is a moment in your life where there is not a situation, you find yourself in there, not a depth of experience, a sense of loss and loneliness. Oh, some of us can be lonely, actually lonely. Sometimes we are lonely to the extent that we begin to go crazy. Some jiggy jiggy baju guju 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 begin to enter our mind. Hallelujah. Either to go and steal, either to go to room 107. Or either to, some things begin to enter our mind. Hallelujah. But he says, when you walk through that fire, when you walk through that fire, it looks like there is no money, That is the fire you are walking through. That today it looks that things are dry. Sometimes we see a say when you walk through that fire, it looks like my family, they don't have it. When I walk through that fire, the Bible says you will not be burned. You know why? Because when I walk through that, I love this scripture because it doesn't say when you run through that fire. It says when you walk. Why would you want to run through that fire? Hallelujah. Tap me high five. Why do you want to run through that fire? You cannot run through that fire. You know why? Because God wants you to take your time. No, I'm through. Am I communicating? Now imagine say one nanti James necessary. Hallelujah. And you see, that is what some of us we are walking through that fire. It is burning us, but the more it burns, the more God pulls something. Hallelujah. When you walk through, immediately you walk to God, that's what he pulls something. So he said that you will walk through that fire, you will not be burned. I love this scripture. It says you will walk through that fire, but you will not be burned. The Bible said, and Moses saw a fire in a bush that was burning, but the bush was not burning. I am talking about that fire that will not kill you, but the fire that will make you a better person. I came to tell you, you need to be thankful to God for going through that fire. Sometimes these ones we don't like it. Lord, I thank you for taking me through. No. I know I'm coming out, but I thank you for this fire. No, that's not the kind of prayer we pray. But I always love it because it says that it will not consume you. It says that, look at how it's. It says you will walk through the fire, you will not be burned, number one. And it says that the flames will not set you ablaze. Ah, it will not consume you. Hallelujah. Look at somebody, I feel I'm going through, but I'm not going to stay there forever. And I say, I'm coming out very soon. Say, I'm coming out very soon. Say, I'm coming out very soon. Hallelujah. So it's very important that we give thanks to God because God has given us a promise that he will never what? He will never leave us. Hallelujah. I want you to lift up your right hand and let's pray this short prayer. Hallelujah. Say, Heavenly Father, as we have heard your word today, Lord, I have to be honest. There are times and places in my life that it is tough. It is tough to say thank you. Because God, I feel alone. Father, I am not sure what those moments, what those areas for my life, even in my friends, will do to me. But God, I pray that I will sense your power in your presence every day in my life. Say, God, if I feel alone in a relationship, if I feel alone in the plans I have for myself, sometimes I fall apart. But Father, whatever it is in my life, whatever my need is at this moment, I pray right now that I will sense your power. I will sense your presence in the name of Jesus. Amen. Say amen. Say a big amen. Philippians chapter 4 verse 6. It says that just remember that you have to pray and give thanks to God. It says that don't be anxious or worried about anything. Instead, pray about everything, always making your request known to God with what? Thanksgiving. Another dimension to thank God apart of your giving is to pray. And that is why we will be here on our Thanksgiving day, and we will not only give, but we will praise and we will pray and thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Number four, and I close with this. I can always be thankful for the changes God is making in me. I can always be thankful for the changes God is making in me. I can say, or you have to believe, or you have to say that, Lord, I am grateful for the changes you are making in me. And here is the good news. The good news is that no matter what I go through, God will use it to change me. And that is why Romans chapter 8 verse 28, he says he's working in the inside of me. Not on the outside. On what? You see, there is a saying that when you drink a lot of water, when you eat good food, healthy food, it shows on your skin. Am I communicating? And yes, our junk food now, dinner. Hallelujah. When you eat good food, when you do proper dieting, sometimes you don't have to even go into the cold and come. People look at you and say, guy, are you in Ghana? You look fresh. Udidi basa basa basa. Eduani biana udi. Hallelujah. God does not work on your outside. He works on your inside. You know what? Because he has wonderfully and fearfully made you. Am I communicating? You are already beautiful. Then that is why you have a choice to either make yourself beautiful or ugly. Am I communicating? But his most important priority, it is what is on your inside. And I'm not talking about your organs and your tissues. I'm talking about how he can work your character and make you a better person. Am I communicating? It says that Romans chapter 5 verse 3 to 4, it says that we can have joy even in our troubles. I love it. We can have joy even in our troubles. We know that these troubles produce endurance. And endurance produce character. And character produce hope. Please put it there again. Let's read together. It says, we can what? Put it together. Let's read together. It says, not only, and what? And character is one. Is hope. Somebody say character is hope. Say character is hope. So why does that make me joyful? Look at somebody say, why does that make me joyful? Why is it that God building character in my life is such an important thing? Why is it that God building a character in your life is so important? Because it is the only thing that will take you to heaven. Your character. Somebody say my character. It is the only thing that can what? Take you what? To heaven. Because if I don't work on my character, I will be entering into damnation. Am I communicating? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is very important. That is why I have preached here several times that you have to mature. You cannot stay where you are all the time. Hallelujah. You have to what? Mature. So if 2023, we had yes, and 31st December, Lord, I surrender all to you. Everything I give. Lord, you know I'm a thief. Father, help me. Behold nothing. Look at somebody. Then I owe you. Then I owe you. Hallelujah. Then I owe you. That you everything you will say. Then I owe you. This anger is killing you. When people cough, you are even angry. You don't know. There are some colleagues, you can have them in office. Even when you cough, they think that is them. Hallelujah. You think that you do. The thing is them. No, it's true, man. It's true, man. Hallelujah. When you pass by them and you make some reaction, you see, why being bony? Because you are, you see, you yourself, you have to work on yourself. Am I communicating? Hallelujah. I don't want to go there. Hallelujah. But we need to work on what? On our character. And what is going to help you is not your career. It's your character that will take you to heaven. Am I communicating? Not your hobbies, not your clothes, not your China things you bought in your house. It's your character. Hallelujah. Somebody say, work on your character. Look at someone, work on it. Say, by next year, I want to see you better person, better person. Am I communicating? Hallelujah. I want to see you a better person. Not I see you next year and you are the same person and you say, hey, Adwa, then because I want to see you out a better person. When they come to you, say, hold on. My character and my hope is what is important. What is my hope? My hope is that one day I will be with Jesus Christ. Am I communicating? I believe it's a good place to clap your hands. We can spend a lot of things. We can acquire building. We can buy cars. I know you are planning to buy Benz. You know, we are planning to buy a lot of things. But at the end of the day, those things cannot guarantee us to heaven. It is your character. Am I communicating? Hallelujah. And here is the good news. The good news is that we have to be patient. Hallelujah. He's working. You see, when you take your attire to a tailor, they begin to cut the patterns. They look at the style and the design you've given to them. Now they begin to work the pieces together. I'm not a dressmaker, I'm trying. They bring this here, and they sew it here and all that. And now you see you are wearing a beautiful dress. Hallelujah. God works it like that. He takes it from here, takes it from here. The ones that are not good, he moves them, he brings them here. You have to be patient. Some people, you give things to your tailor, I said, hey, I need it in 1 hour. And sometime before they bring it, you see, they've not sewn it well and all that. You can't even close the zip well. And now you say dressmaker or tailor, you are not good. Somebody say, be patient. Be patient. Because when circumstances may be working against you, when other people are working against you, when the good news is working against you, I came to tell you, the Lord said, be patient. Be patient. Because that troubled times will be over soon. And it is that moment that even when I'm going through, I still have to say, thank God. I still have to say, Lord, I thank you. Hallelujah. When people are speaking to my face, I still have to say, Lord, I thank you. Hallelujah. Because God knows that even in that mistake, that even that sins that people are committing to me, he will use it to make me a better person. Am I communicating? Some of you, you went to stay with some people, uncles, auntie, and some things you went through. Sometimes you wake up at dawn, you do this, everything you are doing. When water falls on the floor, you are cleaning. Then they call you, sometimes they make you feel very inferior. But you can count it that after 5 years of your life, you look at everything you've gone through, it has made you a better person. Are you understanding me? Hallelujah. So now even you, when you have your own house, you make sure everything is well. Because though it looked like it was bad, but God used that thing to make you a better person. Am I communicating? Hallelujah. So that is why when some friends, they come and visit in your home and they eat biscuit and they put it on the floor, you tell them, please pick it up, put it in the bin. Are you understanding me? When they pour water, they are like, I see, I no see. You tell them, pick the mop, clean it, and do it well. And one day you meet a husband, you meet some nice guy, and he'll be like, where did you get your training from? And you tell them, I cannot start telling my story because the God I serve has been good to me. Am I communicating? In Tikacho, he said, Tubuase. Hallelujah. Look at the next verse in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. It says, put it there for me. Let's read together. It says, For God is working what? Is this a for you? He says what? In you. He's talking about what? Your inside. And he says that giving you what? A and the power to do what pleases him. And I love what 2 Corinthians chapter 3, put it there for me. It says, as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, and I have to be grateful to God for that. As the Spirit of the Lord works what? Within us, we become more what? Like him. Is it there? As the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become what? More like him. You see, so if you are not looking like Jesus, it means he's not working in you. Am I communicating? He's not in you. You profess that he's in you, but he's not in you. Because if he's in you, he begins to work you, work you. Somebody say work, work, work. Say work, work, work. He begins to what? To work in you. So Christ in me, the hope of glory. He begins to work in me. Some of you, is not working in you. I don't know what synonym I should use. He's not working in you. Hallelujah. Because you are still who you are. Otimyotim obotain. The rock of Gibraltar. Hallelujah. You are still who you are. Listen, just make a list of things you said, I want to change. And let's, please, how many of you brought, some of you don't write, you brought book. Let's list them right now. You let me continue my sermon. There will be trouble here. You can list the things I want to, Lord, I want to change. Your resolution you made. Sometimes your resolution is car, money, abrochure, investment. And you see what happened? Men's good. You list all those things there. And look at those things and see which one has changed you. Which one have you changed from? And begin to cross them. This character, cross. This one, cross. This one, cross. Some of you, you get 100%. 100% not in the positive, but in the negative. We will mark this character, correct, is still there. This character, correct, is still there. This character, correct, is still there. 10 characters, they are still there. I pray for you. May God help you. May God help you. May the Holy Spirit work within you in the name of Jesus. That one day you will be like him. And I love it. It says we become more and more what? Like him. Hallelujah. And I close with it. I have last hour, but I'll close here. Say true confession. Say true confession. And I want us to do a true confession here. Hallelujah. Look at somebody on your left or your right. Say, I am not all I should be. Say, I'm confessing to you. I am not all I should be. I am not all I should be. But thank God he's changing me. Say, if you don't like me right now, hang on, hang on, hang on, hang on. Say, I'm getting better. Say, I'm getting better. Say, I'm getting better. Say, and by the grace of God, I can say three things. And you can say these three things now. By the grace of God, I am not what I used to be. By the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am not what I am going to be because he is working in me. Hallelujah. Say, that is my true confession. Say, I'm getting better. By the end of the year, I will be better. Hallelujah. During this, our Thanksgiving, I want us to do something. We are going to praise, we are going to thank God, and we are going to give unto him. 2 Corinthians 12:9. It says, but God said to me, my grace is all you need when you are weak. It says that my power is made perfect in you. So Paul says that I am to be brag about my weakness, then Christ's power can live in me. When Paul was going through a lot of things, he said, Lord, I want to run away. And the Lord speaks to me and he said, my grace is all you need. And you know what that grace is? It's the saving grace. Are you understanding me? It's the saving grace. It says that my grace can save you. That my grace can lift you up from that weakness you are in. Not sit in that weakness, but lift you up. People have misquoted his grace there. So grace to continue sinning. Grace to continue doing wrong things.
Hallelujah.
He said, this is my saving grace, Paul. That saving grace is all you need. I can save you. Are you understanding me? And he doesn't finish there. He says that, and my power is made what? Perfect in you. He will work it. Somebody say, he will work it. Say, he will work it. Say, he will work it. So you don't know God is all you need until you've gone through. Some of us, we don't know is God is all we need until we've gone through. So sometimes when you are telling your story, people are saying, oh, I don't know about it. Sometimes the pain that people have gone through, they come to a place where they come to understand is God is all I need. Because men will fail, people will fail. Are you understanding me? Sometimes there are times where you expected me to be there for you. I was not there. And that shows the providence of God. That shows the goodness of God. That shows he is God. We men, we are imperfect. Are you understanding me? Hallelujah. I've seen people left church because pastor did not call me on my birthday. Hallelujah. We cannot be God. God is God. We are imperfect. We can make mistakes here and there. But God says that even in that mistakes, I want to work you and make you a better person so that you'll be more and more like what? Like me. Can you imagine if you are like Jesus? So sweet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that is why it is very important that sometimes we go through things and there is no emotional support. No emotional support. Number one, no emotional support. Number two, no financial support. We are just there alone like that. And what it baffles me is that there are times where there are no relational support. Nobody to talk to. You feel all alone and you are all there. You don't know whether to call pastor or to call uncle or to call auntie. You are there all alone. But it is that point that we come to understand that God is all we need. Somebody say, talk to him. Say, talk to him. Say, talk to him. Have you ever thanked God when you are going through circumstance? Nobody was there and you thank God. This is what he wants. The more you thank him, the more he works it for you. Am I communicating? Because the enemy is like, why are you thanking him even in this? Lord, I thank you that I'm going through this. He will work it for me. Am I communicating? Hallelujah. Somebody say, he'll work it for me. Let me show you another verse. The Bible says in Psalm 97 verse 12, it says, remember what your holy God has done for you and give him thanks. It says, and give him thanks. And that is a command. It says, and give him what? Thanks. Somebody say, I will thank God. Say, I will thank God. The Bible says that honor the Lord and worship him and remember all the great things that what? He has what? He has done for you. Maybe a lesson learned, a personal charge and a personal growth, a decision you made. I don't know, but we've spoken about a lot of things this morning. But I want you to take a minute and look at your life now because God has done something for you. Whatever it is, he has what? Done something for you. Hallelujah. He has done something for you. And there is a cause for you to be what? To be grateful to him. Take this lastly. Number four or five. I can always be thankful for the home that God has prepared for me. Please be upstanding. Write it down and be upstanding.
Now thank we all our God. With heart
and hands and voices, who wondrous things are done.
Come on, let's sing it. Put it on the screen, everybody.
If
you don't know the words, it's on the screen. Let's sing it.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. That was such a powerful message from the man of God, Reverend Sidney Alamensa. I believe you have been blessed. God bless you for staying tuned to today's sermon, and shalom.